Even if you secure a temporary lull, that means you have gone a step further on the path. This I would request all the brothers and sisters here to kindly remember that the Master's company is there and is assuring you that he is that we are on the path. Because this temporary lull is something that is a matter of common experience. Is it very peculiar to our system? My answer is yes. I have read literature where they said, can you not grant me at least a moment of silence, peace? Can I not have that vision even for a second? There are people who have said, I had that for a fraction of a second or for 1 minute. That is enough for me for my entire life to carry on. Have they not said it? Okay, granted, that is also not very acceptable to you. Have you not heard the song of Annamacharya who says, Ippudi to Kalaganti, he was more than happy with one dream, where he saw the Lord, and then said, this is enough. This is enough experience for me. What happened to our civilization? Have we lost our gratitude? Those great saints, those great people who had momentary experiences of the divine, were grateful for that particular 1 second or 2 seconds of experience, that they remembered it through their life, made that the sheet anchor of faith. And why is it we require every day so many moments of calmness? Is this not repeated experience that we have got? And have we developed that much of faith in God? I would request you as sadhakas to answer me this question. Don't answer me. Answer yourself, answer God. Why you don't want to feel more and more committed to your sadhana in spite of the fact that that's why I said, gratefulness seems to be something that seems to have been lost in the process of modernization. Civilization seems to have taught us how to be ungrateful. The divine is telling us every second that I am with you, and we ought to be grateful. But then we are not. Are you firm? Are you firm? The answer is deep in your heart. It says yes. That is the craving of the soul. I attract your attention to another message of the Master. He says, we are moving towards the homeland. One of the first messages that is given in our CD is that. It says we are moving towards our homeland. Every one of us is moving towards our homeland. The cry is there. That is the craving of the soul. The matter is what is binding us. With our imaginary and illusory attachments, we are trying to say no to the permanent attachment that the divine is telling, I am always with you. I am inseparable from you. You and I are one. You are my best friend. Priyosime. You are my best friend. You are most dear to me. We say, no, no, my wife is more dear to me than you. And that is the problem. My money is more important than you. My property is more important than you. My son is more important than you. Is this not our answer to our God? Has it not been our fate? Is this not an ungratefulness on our part? In this system particularly. I don't know about other systems, but in this system where we are repeatedly being told, I am with you, I am here, please hear me. Wait for a time, I will attend to somebody else. And the poor man patiently waits for the next day, when you may perhaps sit in meditation. Poor man, he has to wait. While referring to this path to the ultimate, saints have said beyond and beyond. To this path, he says, to this path that we are following, beyond and beyond, never is a stage that this is ultimate I have reached. Ultimate is an ever receding one. Don't be satisfied with any condition. Because that itself is a refuse. That itself is a dirt. Satisfaction is a mental state. Agreed? You can't deny that. If you are satisfied with the condition, that means you are enjoying the dirt. You are enjoying the dirt. Don't be satisfied with your condition. Don't be ungrateful. Be grateful to Master every day for the ever new approaches that he is granting you on the path. Don't say at any point of time, I have reached. You will never reach. And that is the title, Towards Infinity, of one of his books. Those people who think about a dhamam, that is Vaikuntha dhamam, or a Goloka, or a Kailasa, it does not matter much. Are people who are talking about static goals. A path that is fixed, you are not thinking of going beyond. Beyond and beyond is the way of meditation. Religion talks about something else for its own purposes. I won't say they are bad. I won't say that religion is bad. It has got its own purpose. When we speak thus, it sounds very well. Yes, it sounds very well. Beyond and beyond. But when we try to do it, things become a bit difficult. For due preparation is not there. As I hinted just now, the concept of satisfiedness is the problem. Due preparation is not there. We want a condition of being satisfied. We are imposing a condition on experience. It is not an unconditional preparedness for whatever that is given. That which is given should be satisfying to me. This is the reason majority of our abhyasis write to us, sir, nenna meditation chala bagundi sir, ee roju bagaledu sir. Ninna bagundadu enti ee roju bagaledu. Whatever is given to you, you better take it. You move on. Move on and on. No, no, sir, that day I had an experience. That experience is not coming to me again, sir. It will not come. In a static path, that is possible. If you are going to be stagnant, it is possible. If you are moving eternally, if you are moving continuously, if you are in a system that is dynamic, can you repeat the experience? Will you be standing at the station of Nagpur on your way to Delhi unless you end your journey there or some breakdown of the train is there? You will move on. No, no, we want the same experience, sir. Last Basant it was very good, sir. This Basant it's not good. How can Basant be good at time, sometime, and how can it be bad some other time is not a question at all for us. That was satisfying to me. This is not satisfying to me. Yesterday it was a good sitting, sir. Today it is not a good sitting, sir. Yesterday I was not aware of the mosquitoes, sir. Today I am aware of the mosquitoes, sir. What to do? What to do with this type of approach? Now that is what he tells next. Eye consciousness remains far and near, and it disappears also if we do our abhyas devotedly. Eye awareness. Eye consciousness. Ahamta. Awareness. Eye consciousness. That is, I am experiencing something. I am having this. I am not having that. Is eye consciousness. This should not be confused with the concept of ego. That's why immediately, next sentence he says, there is a common error almost everywhere that they think I is an enemy. Here he uses the word I. Earlier he used the word I consciousness. Please note the difference. I consciousness is ahamta. I is ego, identity, individuality. It is bound to be there. Expecting something for me is I consciousness, including the ecstatic state of bliss during meditation. Is it not true, sir, that you said this morning that thou art the ocean of bliss, should I not experience it? Yes, he is an ocean of bliss. You need not experience that. If he wants to give you, that experience he will give you. If he does not want to give you, he will not give you. You have no business to expect that. That expectancy is the problem. That is eye consciousness. I hope you understand what I am trying to tell here. A subtle difference between eye consciousness and I. A common error of all philosophy students and pseudo-philosophy students. I is different from eye consciousness. I should get recognition for the meditation that I do, number one. I have done so much work for the institute, therefore I should be recognized. Is eye consciousness. I have given sittings to so many people, and therefore they should be grateful to me for all the work that I have done on them. Is eye consciousness. I have been regular to Abhyasa regularly, therefore I should get this stage. Eye consciousness. Meditation is a process of having, not expecting. What God gives you, you take. Don't expect something. Maybe the surprise is much more dearer to you than what you thought of. You might have asked for some small thing, perhaps you get a better thing than that. Why do you want to restrict the choice of the grace of God? Why do you want to restrict the grace of God by saying this is the condition that I want? Not only you are putting a condition on the grace of God, you are also trying to limit yourself to that goal. By asking a condition, you are limiting yourself to that goal. That is why the paragraph first starts beyond and beyond. If beyond and beyond is not in your mind, you will definitely ask for a state. It is not something unconnected word. Please note that Master's logic is always perfect. It is just likely that most of us think that we know better English than him, or better language than him, or better spirituality than him. But all that is an illusion. He knows more precisely as to what to say and what not to say. So if you lose his point, there is a common error almost everywhere that they think I is an enemy. That is a negative attachment which makes it hard and impossible. People, basically, this is another question from many Abhyasis that I have received. Sada, I have been having this awareness. I feel like going for something. I must achieve this. This has become a barrier. What difficulties you are talking about? In the beginning, we talked about negative thoughts. We thought anything that is connected with an aspiration is also an attachment, and therefore is a barrier. Aspiration is an attachment, surely, but definitely not a barrier. Aspiration to reach a state beyond and beyond is surely an attachment to the concept of beyond and beyond, but it's not a barrier. For nothing, they will be going on worrying that I have got this problem, sir, I have got that problem. There's no problem as such. They think that I, consciousness itself, is an enemy. I itself is an enemy. And he says, once you develop this type of attitude, it is impossible to get rid of it. And that is the problem of majority of the people who go by the name good. This leads to their behavior of saying that extraordinary expressions of humility, no humility. Very, very humble ways they have got. The humbleness is a cloak in which their ID is hidden. It's a cloak. It's a negative attachment. Negative attachment to the concept of humility. They would not like to be normal. Ati viniyam dhurta lachya. So there's nothing new here. Babaji is only telling that. It's a negative attachment. It's very difficult to get rid of it, because that is something socially very acceptable. Everybody thinks he is very, very humble. And that increases his ego. He's a very humble man, sir. There's another category. People who live very austere life. He's a very person practicing very austere life, sir. Man of him. It is only his miserliness that makes him austere. He is not prepared to give one paisa to somebody else, sir. He is surely austere, but doesn't want to give one paisa to others. He will not sacrifice anything. And such people go, they have said, very austere, is a good man, sir. So you can think, meditate further on this. When we think of I, it becomes stronger by our own thought force, brought about by concentration. try to forget the I, it will help a good deal. Now, one of the most significant spiritual truths come now, next sentence. Once divinity dawns, the negative attitude to life goes far away. In the first paragraph, we have referred to the concept of vairagya, which we generally think is a negative concept to life. Everybody thinks so. It's a negative concept. Christian missionaries have done their best to propagate this idea that we are a negativist type. We are all fellows who are condemning ourselves to the karma theory and all that talk they have made. They're very good at it because they do good exercise, homework they do. So we are prone to believe what they say. They think that we are negativists, defeatists, condemning ourselves to what they call fate, a word which we have not used. We have got a karma to which we say that we are bound by it, not a fate. Fate is a Christian concept. Fate is not our concept. It's a borrowed concept from the West. Karma is something that is there. Samavarti is the concept of God we have got. We don't condemn ourselves, saying that we are condemned to this. Because karma gives you, there are three types of karma, prarabdha, sanchita and agami. So karma has been defined very well. We have got always a possibility to better ourselves. We are not condemned to the burial ground, waiting for the great savior to come on the doomsday to certify that I am his man. We are not condemned to that fate. We have got a choice of a rebirth. We can come again, improve ourselves, and then say, yes, we deserve God. Ours is a positive. Now, coming back to the subject, once divinity dawns, and divinity has dawned, because the momentary calmness that you have got, momentary silence tells you that you are the path, the divinity has dawned. The negative attitude to life goes far away. We do not think all these things are negative aspects. We always take it as divine blessings and get attached more and more to the divinity. I'm running out of time, sir. I can't help it. I'm only halfway through. I don't know whether it's vital or not. You have asked me to do, and I'm trespassing, that I understand. So the divinity dawns, the negative attitude to life goes. Please note it. Please kindly note it. It does not permit you to be gloomy. Master warns you elsewhere, gloominess is bad for spirituality. Depression is bad for spirituality. Don't get depressed. Don't get gloomy. You have no right to become. Under whatever circumstances it is, we have got to do our duty. And he immediately adds, the demolition of the past is a chapter in our system, in Sahaj Maha. Demolition of the past. The past karmas I have done, the demolition of that is this. How? We have explained it in detail in Ten Commandments. How we should take what is coming to you in life. And how we should go through our meditation process. Accepting everything as a divine gift and moving on. It's a chapter. Not something that comes to you saying that Master will definitely give me a relief, sir. He has said that it's a chapter. Chapter means you've got an exercise to do. Something to learn. Some exercise to complete. Then it becomes a chapter, if I am right. Let there not be this cowardice to say that, no, everything, we'll try to duck it under the Master and then say that he will take care of. No such assurance is there. Because he is assuring you the companionship. Just as Arjuna was assured of the companionship of God. He had to fight his battle. We fight our battle. He is there with us. And the demolition of the past happens. All that the past that has happened in the Bharat before the war, demolished. God demolished. Attachments to gurus, attachments to ancestors, attachment to the kith, attachment to the kin, attachment to everything. Everything was demolished. And unless these attachments are demolished, you are not going to become free. So demolition of the past, the chapter here. And about the present, we go through the past action. About the future, we don't create. There's another chapter in our system, that the future is not created by us. If you do not form your samskaras, you don't create the future. How not to develop the samskaras has been written by Babaji, and he said that think that all action is mine, do everything that as I do, do not own up your action, do not own up your thought, do not own up your knowledge. Everything is that of the divine. And when you take such an attitude, no samskara is formed and no future is created. And as he puts it, 50% of the problem is solved. That is reality at dawn. Read the concerned chapter, get it. When we think of the goal, as long its longing brings the distance in view, because we have become used to such sort of thinking. Because when we talk about the ultimate, when we say beyond and beyond, then the distance, are the ayyappanika, this is not something that I can do. Because we are accustomed to think like that. Tradition has went on, has gone on imprinting on our head that this is not an ordinary matter for grihasthas. Only some people can get it. And after many lives they can get it. It is not possible in one life. You are condemned. All these things, the distance comes to our view. In the beginning we enter what is behind the matter and we touch only the ground and not the reality. That is, when you start thinking, you are just going just behind the matter and then you are seeing the depths and not the reality. The echo of the voice diminishes when it travels a long distance and then there is silence all round. Persist in the path, and you find that particular noise which was there doesn't echo further. You are accustomed for certain type of thinking. Persist in the path. You go a distance, then if the echo is not there disturbing you. If you don't go much, then the echo is always there. That is not possible. It is all right for some karanapaya janmulu. I have got my good friend Anjaneyalu, whom you must be here. You told me once, sir, we are karma janma. I said, no, yes, everyone is a karma janma. And he asked me, why? Because there is a karma, and a karma is the karma for which I am born. And you are also born like that. So who is not a karma janma? You tell me that. I asked him. He very sincere, obviously. But still, this question he put. Because he thought that the progress which he thinks that I have made in spirituality is something that he cannot make. I said, no. Every one of us is entitled for the ultimate. That's our birthright. And Master says, I will take you there. All that is required is your preparedness to move along with him, not with me. Let there be no illusion amongst any of us that here we are going to take anybody else. We are going to tell you, we have been telling you, that it is the Master and Master alone who takes you. It is his company that you should know. It is the calmness that assures you of his presence. How do you know that he is there with you? The calmness tells you. The calmness is an indication of the presence of the divine in your heart. And he tells you all the time that I am with you. No, sir, I am getting only conflicting ideas. My problems of my daughter is in my head. My problems of my son-in-law is in my head. The problems of my son is in my head. That is because of your attachment, sir. This attachment is something that is temporary, a part of this life, which itself is a runa of the past, which is a consequence of the past actions. And you have got to go through that. Am I condemned to this, sir? Surely, that's what you wanted. If you want to have use the word condemned, that's what I would say. I would otherwise say that we seem to be condemned to the presence of the divinity to reach the ultimate. How do you like this? You can't deny the company of the divine. You can deny the company of others. The divinity is not prepared to leave you under any circumstance. You are condemned to his presence. This is the problem. He is all the time telling you as your conscience that what you do is something that is inappropriate. You better understand what is appropriate. He is reminding you day in and day out. And that is what you don't want. That echo of the divine is what you want to kill. You would be most happy if you can kill it. 99% of the human population have been doing it by taking resort to drugs, alcohol, other habits, kill the conscience somehow. Kill it. Kill the divine. Kill the awareness of the divine itself if you can't kill the divine. It's a one-point formula of the modern world is kill the awareness of the divine in you. Don't promote it because it is likely to make you most inconvenient. It will make you miserable. It will make you feel you the worst fellow in this world is yourself. And who wants that certificate? It is a sadhaka who wants it so that he may know what are the things that he should drop off. But the moment you are told this is an unnecessary load that you have got, no, sir, I am prepared to pay some luggage fees extra. You allow me to carry this. Can I carry some extra luggage, sir? Yes, you can. You can in the train, but not in the ultimate. Then like a Trishanku, you will be thrown out. Even if there were to be some person giving a pass to you to go to the heaven, the authorities in heaven are not likely to receive you. They will say the pass given to you is invalid. Better get down. Get lost. They will throw all your baggage, lock, stock and barrel out. So don't try to carry the luggage. Travel light. Read the article, travel light. See the linkages. See how Master weaves his thoughts. The echo of the voice diminishes when it travels a long distance and then more silence. There is silence all around. I believe that this is due. This is a clue to remind us that we can get into a better state. When the calmness that comes to you, here he talks about the silence, another word for it. It is a clue to remind that we can get into a better state. If we enter into the life from which silence starts, full stop. That is, I'm sorry, my eyes are bad. Here he says the silence tells you there's a life of silence. Here there's a life of noise. In the beginning, that's what we started with. There's a life of noise. The life of silence is there. Those of you who had the opportunity. No, I don't think I should grant that word. Some other word you use. Of reading one of my articles called Working in Silence, then you will understand how you can work in silence. If we don't know how to work in silence, we need not talk about spirituality at all. And you and I have to work in silence. That's why we say you please meditate early in the hours of the day. Be silent. Try to make your mind calm. Try to feel the presence of the divine. Work with it. When we dive deep, then we bring pearls out of it. Obvious sentence. But are we prepared to dive? Or are we prepared to swim? Is it more happy to swim than to dive? Or is it more happy to dive than to swim? Swimmers may answer. I don't know. I don't know swimming. More happy? Okay. You say so, we accept it. Because you are the only person who is answering. So we accept it. I don't know anything about it. The wisdom of man is that he should make the unfavorable things favorable. He's talking about the earlier thing. Because your problems are unfavorable things. You think it's not favorable to you. But in reality, they are favorable. They are burden, an attachment. There's a disgust you get after some time. With every attachment, you get a disgust. Every person feels this. You get a disgust. You do not know what to do with it. Then recluse comes. Don't become a recluse. Let the disgust get transformed into belief in the divine. And then you get a pearl. If you don't go into the problem and try to put it under the carpet, saying that everything is all right, you are only swimming. You are not diving deep. Go into the problem. Try to see which is it that is holding you. You get perhaps an answer there. In other words, we should try to succeed in converting the whole of the material force into spirituality. And it so happens in our system, if we get a competent master, now the problem comes. Here it is put in capitals. I am 100% sure it is a small one. Because the master is one. As we have said in the beginning itself, our master becomes always our master. The master for all of us. So here you require a person who has moved on the path. A person who got a degree in science, master of science. He is not a scientist. He is not an originator of any new theory. He did not discover all the things that have been taught in science. But he knows. He knows. A man who has moved in the path, who knows something about it, can tell you. If you get such a person, he will tell you how to convert an inconvenient situation into a convenient one. But his words are likely to be bitter and palatable. Because due preparation is not there, as Babaji puts it. The due preparation is required for that. An expectancy of a miraculous solution to a mundane problem is at the level of a tribal consciousness. The beginnings of human life. The preparedness to face the consequences of my earlier action and face the adverse circumstances now, taking it as the justice of a just God, is rational and human. But we tend to lapse into tattoos and totems to save us. Talismans, you got umpteen. The irrationality seems to have a more powerful effect on our mind than rationality. It's only a rational mind that can accept the concept, yes, if I have done something wrong, I should take the punishment for it. If I have done something right, I should get a reward for it. But you come to know in life that this is not necessarily true. Therefore, you are left with no other alternative except to believe or accept the existence of a just God, a Samavarti. He will not do anything wrong. He cannot do anything wrong. And those of you who know a bit of astrology know that the Tula, or the balance symbol in the zodiac, the person who is exalted is Saturn. And he knows what is just. And Saturn, you know, how he behaves. But nobody is prepared for such an interpretation. Because it is not astrology, nor is it mysticism. That is my madness. But I am prepared to share it with you. Because I see a certain amount of the reason behind it. A rationality behind it. Because we see the circumstances in life as something that is not good. I need not have been done this dishonor. I need not have been shown this disrespect. I ought not to have received this punishment. These are words which have no faith in God. A person who has got a faith in God cannot say these things. If you are devout, you cannot say that. That we say it is a fact. And the sadhaka has to rethink there. Does he accept the master as just, or is he one who would simply give some alms to people, one who beg? That is the notion which everybody seems to accept. He is capable of giving anything to me, sir. Yes, he is capable of giving anything to you, but are you capable of receiving it is a question. In a funny way, I asked once, 1961, I asked master. He said, in a wink of an eye, I can take a person to realization. And he said, why not you do that for me? Then he said, you can't take it. I didn't understand much of it. I seem to understand something of it now. He may be prepared to give, but are we prepared to take? Are we ready to take? Are we capable of holding power? Don't you think majority of us would like to wield power rather than hold it? Don't we like to suffer from the I consciousness saying that I am capable of doing this, I am capable of doing that? Is that an I consciousness that suffers? Have we not in that process killed the silence in which we are supposed to be? If you remain yourself in a state of silence, God knows how to work through you. And Babaji asserts, in my system, every Abhyasi, I make use of him, and many miracles do happen because of me. He says it. But then are there Abhyasis? Have we allowed ourselves to be as dead bodies or corpses in the hands of the Master? Have we surrendered? Have we become that devout? Put these questions. Aspire for that condition. I am sure the company of the Divine will grant you that. I am not a negativist. As I told you, I am never an actor. I am a confirmed optimist. I am a rabid optimist, if I can put it. My faith in others always goes, every day. The more I fail, the more I succeed in having my optimism. Every failure makes me feel, we can still work better. The deficiency is mine. We can always try to better it. Because you have been taught a lesson where you fail. So succeed. Learn the lesson. Don't find fault with others. Where we live? Here. We cut a competitive mark. All the fibers of our being become spiritualized and reality begins to radiate. And now, the most optimistic statement of the Master, I am preparing such souls. We are not left. He has not said to us that you are a set of useless stuff. You have no aspiration. You are good for nothing fellows. You don't do your sadhana properly. He knows all that. That we don't do our sadhana properly, he knows better. There have been other occasions when he has pointed out that, asking us to get up, exhorting us. But here you find I am preparing such souls that they may have the full benefit of my services. Such souls as to deserve the benefit of his services. Please note it. This is a big digression, some of you may not agree, some of you may think it as bad, still I have got to make the remark, since I made a note long back, I got some notes on this side. This is a statement that was made in 81, and it says, I am preparing. If the successor to the Master, as he claims, or as they claim, have come into existence in 74, was there a necessity for this statement in 1981? Those of you who want to think rationally may think further. This gives me an added strength to believe that my Master is eternal. He is there guiding our destinies. It is not a preparation that is restricted to 1981. It's a preparation that may continue for years and centuries, because such men are required. I don't think human transformation has taken place, though it's about 50 years or 55 years. There has been an inclination towards the divine more and more, that we don't like it because they are temples, is a separate issue. We don't have to go on finding faults of somebody, saying that they're inferior to us. Nobody is inferior to us, nobody is superior to us. We accept only one superior person, and that is our Master. And so far as others are concerned, all are equal. If this attitude is not maintained, we need not talk about spirituality. There's a stream. When it rains, umpteen number of streams flow from the mountains. Some are big, some are small. Some become rivers, some just end as a stream. And so are the several temples and mosques and churches that are coming today. They are in the process. They are in the process of merging into the big river of spirituality that is flowing. They will merge. They will have to merge. Not now. Okay. They will merge one day. There is no other alternative. There is no alternative to spiritual way of living. Religion is a bondage, both on ourselves and on God. When you say that Lord Venkateswara is the God, you are confining him to that place. When you say the Kaaba is the only place where you should go, you are confining him to that place. Then how is he liberated? He seems to be in chains. And how can he help me? I want liberation. I want freedom. How can a person who is already chained can liberate me? This is a rational question. Question raised by Master. At one end you are chained already. The man who is trying to help. Then how is he going to help me? He will make me go round, round, round. We will become Ganagetu along with him. He will be one bull and we can be other bulls behind him. Anyway, on this auspicious day, I again tell you that this sentence I am preparing such souls should be taken by every one of us as the most optimistic statement ever made. Because if he is going to make the great souls from out of us, our views about ourselves, we know. Nobody need tell us. We don't have to have the courage to grant for ourselves a certificate. We don't have the courage. If you are honest, I don't think we'll grant for ourselves. If such is the stuff from which he is going to prepare such souls, what a great optimism. Now coming back to our assessment of other Abhyasis saying that he is no good. Is it justified? While the appeal for improving the quality of the meditation of the Abhyasis cannot be given up, I do not think we should err judging others. Allow each man to be guided by the great master himself. As he puts it, your job ends with introducing a person. Tell the message, pass on the message to others. It is for the master to sink into the hearts of Abhyasis. Those people who are trying to compile, kindly make this point also in your mind. It is made out in some letter or some article. It is made this. Kindly note it. So these are all the things that help us. Give a very, very positive, constructive approach to the problem of life we have got. The craving of the soul, each soul, every one of us is a soul here. We need not confuse ourselves with the bodies that we have got. Everyone is a soul. The title of the message is that. We crave. Every one of us is trying to move towards the divine. We have so many impediments. Each one has got his own bandages. How can you say one set of bandages is superior or inferior to others? We should always, like brothers, give the helping hand to other person to come out of his problem. Yes, in the process we may say that you are deep into mire. You please make an effort to come up. I am also trying to pull up. If the other man tries to pull you down, you have got to tell him, you have no business to pull me down. You better come up. Our aspiration is to make great souls. Our aspiration is not sink into the levels of dirty souls. In the name of help, let us not sink. Because that is what exactly is happening every day. You ask somebody in your house to follow the system, they say, no, 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 you please avoid the system. You don't go for meditation today, what is it that is lost? Have we not got some better assignment today? Is there no better appointment for us today? Is this something more important? Don't you think such and such cinema is much more attractive in the TV? Why are you going to waste your time on meditation? Let us sit. Give company to me so that we can enjoy together. Have you not been talking like this? Don't fall. Don't fall a prey to that. Don't try to keep company. with people who are definitely trying to pull you down. If possible, try to give them company to get up. Pull them up if you can. If you can't, be at least safe. There is every sense in living. Now, after having made the positive statement that he is making, such, he says that people, what is there in life, sir? The whole thing is rubbish. What is the use of this life? I got defeated, demoted, disgraced. What? Or they say, I have reached the pinnacle, sir. What is there more? I have reached the best place. There is nothing more to get. Both ways are there. Not only in living, but achieving the highest. You must achieve the highest, because he again tells you there is a duty. It's your duty to reach the highest. Not something high. Not something higher, but the highest. It's a superlative sense. I am satisfied with my conditions, sir. I have come across many abhyasis of this. Who, when pulled up, saying that you are trying to fall, or you have fallen, or you are tending to fall, please note, please watch your condition. They don't like it. I am happy with my condition, sir. Please don't pester me. Okay, I said. But I don't pester them. I don't pester them consciously. But I serve them unconsciously. I continue my service. Because that is the commitment I have given to my master when we said that you please pass on my message. And please note that every one of you have said it. When you said that you want to be an abhyasi, you already said that you are going to spread the message of the master. Because when you are molding your life so as to arouse a feeling of love and piety in others, it's a promise that you have made. Keep it up. Keep it up. The craving of the soul can be satisfied best while one is living and existing. Please note it. Please note it. You must reach the highest condition now. If you don't, I had occasion earlier to point out that you will be lingering somewhere in the realms of the divine, and perhaps nobody is going to take you there unless you come down. And you will not come down. That's a separate chapter about which I would not like to talk now. Freedom from rebirth is not the same thing as realization. Freedom from rebirth is not an assurance in the system for all. By which I mean, not for all who do not practice or practice. It is for people who have accepted the master in toto, not in words. By following every sentence of his, by following the commandments assiduously, and by practicing as he has asked us to practice, then such people can definitely be sure they will not come down. Because he has told me when I asked him, Master, we say that we are going, this is our method which is going to give the freedom from rebirth. Is it true for in case of all? And he said, yes, provided they accept me. And in toto it means. Sarvadharman parityajya. Vamekam sarva. Ahamtvam sarva paipyo. Mocheshya. Masucha. That is the promise of this master also, who is not different from Krishna. He is continuing the message. But then it is only for people who are prepared to get lost in the consciousness of Sri Ramchandra. All the time trying to express the divinity. All the time trying to show the master. Elsewhere, both the masters have said that divinity has hidden inside and exposed you. You please hide inside and expose the divine. The divine is the master who is available with us. He is there in the heart. Allow it to be seen by others. By seeing us, let other people see. Here is the disciple of Sri Ramchandra. Let them be reminded of our master so that they also would get an inclination to move towards the divine. Don't get into your sloth. Don't get into your laziness. Don't get into your attachment for money, property, and women and men. Status or otherwise. let there be only one attachment, and that attachment to Sri Ramchandra. And if you have that, you are not going to come back. If you don't have it, you are going to come back. It is for you to decide. I cannot leave my attachment to money, sir. Okay, come back. You will learn next life. Nothing wrong. What is wrong? What is wrong with this world? It's a beautiful world created by God. We can enjoy here. As some people have said it, let me come back again and again, at least to be a devotee of thee, O Master. Yes, saints have sung like that. And Master makes a funny statement about it in reality at dawn. He says, I don't understand such saints who say that they will come again and again to be bhaktas. The minimum goal should be liberation, rebirth, from rebirth. He makes a statement. But then, is that our goal? Let us not talk about realization. Is this at least our goal? I remind again that ahimsa, satya, asteya, aparigraha, brahmacharya are the five things that have been considered as most essential to be a human being. Note the sentence there, thou art the real goal of human life. Are we humans? Put the question to yourself. Are we beasts? If you are a human, you should be having all these qualities. And you know your lapses on all five. I know, you know, everybody knows. But we have accepted a master who said, if you accept me, I will save you. If you are a human being and live like that for seven lives, then you have a scope for liberation, is what the tradition said. And here is a master who says, believe me, surrender to me, accept what I say, do what I say, think that whatever you do is what I do. Think all your ideas are mine. Don't have the kartritva bhavana, jnatritva bhavana, or the bhoktritva bhavana. You are not anybody here. It's I who is enjoying. Accept me in toto, I liberate you. A promise which I would like to recall again and again to the minds of people. And also warn that do not think simply because you have come here, you get that without doing your duty. Do your duty. They are very simple. Total put together, it is only about 1.5 hours or 2 hours at certain fixed times. We are not prepared to do it. Don't do it. Be prepared to come again. What is wrong? Enjoy. What is wrong about this? Unless you got already experienced a disgust in life, you will not feel this. But are you not disgusted with the way in which things are happening? Do you would like to come back to the society which is filthy, which stinks to the core? Is there one amongst us who is happy with the circumstances here? Is the environment oppressive? Would you still like to come? Do you have the courage to come and better it? I wish you all the best. I am not the defeatist. I will say yes, try. But note, in Kali Yuga, it has been stated that dharma will go on decreasing. We are only in the first pada of Kali Yuga. Only 5,000 years have gone. All virtues have been given a goodbye. No niyati. Our life is something that is not governed by any principle. Relationships have lost their value. Social, personal, family, everything. We don't tend to live with the feeling that we are united. We don't feel the origin. We feel we are independent. The one word that I am yet to understand in my life. I'll be too happy if somebody can help me on that. I seem to be terribly dependent upon so many things. But I don't know how people say they are independent. Some people talk that they will stand on their legs. I have never seen one standing on the head so far. What is this that's going on? What is this extreme individual appeasement psychology? You want to appease all the time yourself? Have we not come to the disgraceful condition of not sharing even your own food with your children? I can tell you one wonderful example in my service. There was one gentleman. He had 14 children. His salary naturally was limited and he was a good man. So he does not know what to do. So he was taking gruel along with all his children all the time, all the days. No day food, all the day only. But on the first, he will get all the sweets and eat. Then I asked him, why are you eating here? Why don't you take home? Then he said, if I take home, there will be nothing for me to eat. That is the position. That is a genuine position of a person. I can pity him. But then is not that the same thing with majority of us? Would you not like to have whatever dish you want by going to such a restaurant as you think fit? Is it not true? Am I telling anything that is not true? Okay, at best you will add your spouse. Third person, we don't want. No brother-in-law picture, no father-in-law in the field, no mother-in-law in the field, no daughter in the field. Am I right or wrong? What is the expansion of your consciousness? People talk to me in meditation. There's an expansion of consciousness, sir. What is that expansion? I would like to know. How far is it expanded? They confuse the relative states of calmness that they get with expansion. Because at that time you are lost. You think I have got a great expansion. That has to do with expansion. You have to expand. Your heart must expand. You should fly along with the divine. Because he is not prepared to be in that cage. As he says, it flutters and it flies and you fly along with him. Let the frontiers of your body be broken. Let the boundaries of the family be broken so that you expand. But are we prepared for it? Are there no constraints for it? Are you all that free? That is one angle. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Is another thing. One is the individual approach. At least this portion we must be prepared. Yes, I am prepared. I am ready. The constraints are something different. I can understand that. We cannot grow even if we want to. Our boundaries cannot be extended beyond a limit. But are you prepared? Are you prepared to argue for that case? Even if there were to be many others at your home who would not like to that. Would you prepare? Would you argue? But on the other hand, we will say, I have yielded to that, sir. You don't have even the courage to say, I defer. Lest certain bestial pleasures are denied to you. Am I right? If I were to talk to you as a sadhaka. Is it not the real question? Why do you compromise? Is it not for some bestial appeasement? Some physical needs, some psychological needs. Compromises on spiritual planes are made because of bondages at the lower plane. Swarajyam apnoti. How? How do you get? You can get only when a master of this type is available to you, is prepared to take you. At least yield to him. Follow what he says. That is the reason why he has not touched the much disgusting aspect of the bestial existence. All the time argued in tradition. You can never come out of your karma. You can never come out of your krodha unless you leave the family. You must become a recluse. You should behave like that. You should behave like that. Babuji refused to talk about that. His commandments don't talk about that. You understand? His commandments do not talk about these things. The two vexed problems of life, he doesn't talk. He says it is there. I will see to it that you mold. Meditate on point A. Meditate on point B. I will do the remaining work. All that you have got to do is to hold it when the wisdom comes. No, you allow it to lapse. Every day he tells you. Every day he gives you an experience of wisdom. Every day we allow it to go. Sink back into earth. So there is nothing wrong about our living or existing. Everything is happy here. Know the path, move on. Nobody knows the shore. Again, he tells you the same thing, beyond and beyond. He tells you, again, don't think this is the end. You have got to go far. The beauty of the training of my master is that spiritual life runs parallel to the life in the world with ever-increasing efficiency. As I told you, the much abused concept of our system is the parallelity. They think that both these things are equal. I do not know. There are many scientists here who can correct me. The two wings of the plane are parallel or straight. I do not know. But it takes a skew. What does it happen? For you to answer. I will answer. No, no, that is true. You are talking something else. These two wings are there. Are they parallel? Or the straight line?
They are on the same plane. That is, same plane.
Plane.
Same plane.
Same plane. Would it mean something that is not parallel? I don't know. I leave it there. Because the flying with both the wings is another concept. And when we talk about parallelity here, we say that the line of divinity which goes, and then the line of humanity goes. The line of humanity is parallel to that. Parallels, are they real or the illusion? It's another question which you people have to answer. They merge in the infinite, they say. So what happens there? From my point of view, parallelism is an illusion. You have got to have a belief that the divine is along with you. The divinity is in your heart, and you are there also in the body. This matter also is there. There is a parallelism in that sense of togetherness. Anyway, I leave it there. Once you have decided to attach yourself with the system, while regulation of mind is the responsibility of the master, please give a fair trial and have your own experiences after some time. This is another most misunderstood sentence of the master. Because regulation of mind is the responsibility of the master. Therefore, I go on flirting with my ideas. Of the basest thoughts that are available in this world, I would like to flirt with it. This is what has happened. People do not think that this is an assistance that is coming to you. When he says it's my responsibility, you do your best and I will do the remaining things. He is only telling you that the diversion of the flow of consciousness is my job. I will try to do that. You do your sadhana. On the other hand, our way of understanding it is the duty of the master. Therefore, what shall I do? I read detective fiction. I read pornographic literature. I go to the cinema. I read newspapers which are worthless. I see a TV program. I read anything other than that of the master's works. Almost with a determined effort. If I can put it, that seems to be the most determined effort that we have got, not to read the master's books. As I told you, please do not misunderstand me. I am an optimist. What I am trying to tell you is, this is the lapse you have got. Please come out of this pitfall. Lock, stock and barrel, throw them out. They might have been collected at very expensive prices. The filthy literature, I mean. The Raddi fellow will be too happy to take it. If you give it free to him, that may be an indication of the sacrifice that you are doing, at least of dirt. Because I am 100% sure majority of the people would expect something in turn from the Raddiwala. You want to throw the paper? It's a Raddi. It's a useless thing for you. You would like to collect some money from him. The attachment to money, Dhaneshana, is a very, very peculiar thing. At least gift it. If you can't gift noble things, gift at least dirty things. It may be. It may appear a bit odd that I talk like this, but is it not true that your attics are filled with this? Is it not true that your library is filled with these books? With this type of videotapes? With this type of audio tapes? Is it not true? It's a pungent remark that I have got. But then, is it true or not? Control of mind is possible only when your mind is living on the divine. I repeat, Master's article on control of mind, and one of the messages at Madras, it is the nature of mind to be tuned with the divinity. That is the parallelism that he was referring to in the previous line. Mind is in tune with divine, and anything other than the divine, it throws out. It's a refuse. So if you have got to control your mind, you must read only divine literature. If your mind is confused, it is because you are reading rubbish. Then why read rubbish and then complain that your mind is confused or is having conflicting ideas? Why don't you read only noble literature? Why don't you read only things which are divine? Why don't you make it more and more pure by effort? No, Master said, sir, that he will do that job. Here the Master refers again to the divinity. Divine expels your rubbish. It does its duty. It controls your mind. Please note, the divine controls your mind. That is why it is throwing out rubbish. Continuously, whatever you are trying to put in, it throws out. The help of the Master is always there. The divinity is, as I told you, our best friend who is trying to clear off from our head all rubbish. The control of the mind is really the divine task. He is doing that. All that you have got to do is don't throw rubbish there. You don't do the job of collecting rubbish in the name of inquisitiveness, knowledge gaining, to be in tune with the latest GK, for whatever reason it may be. These are our ideas. How we collect filth is a chapter in psychology by itself. You can go on reading. How we collect filth. And having collected all these things, you say that you are not helping. It is a divine duty to expel. But the poor man has been working in your head, trying to throw it out all the time. But then he's overtaxed. God is overworked. He doesn't get no extra wages for it. Overtime work he's doing. Daytime he does it. Nighttime dreams also he does it. And in spite of it, the filth is not removed. Very poor worker. He doesn't foot the bill. We are capable of making the head so dirty. It's such a big dustbin, he can't clear it. So give a trial at least, he says. There cannot be any breakdown in spirituality if faith and desire for the ultimate is there. Those of us who stop our meditation in between, and then say, sir, I have not found the progress and all that, they cannot think that they have been let off by God. He's such a cantankerous friend, he never leaves you. Once you have made some friendship with him, he is not prepared to leave. Do whatever you want, he is there along with you. He doesn't leave us. He always tells us that, hey, damn fellow, you have to do something better. Leave me for a moment. I collected so much of filth. You get lost in that filth. No, 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 I'll try to expel it and then I am there with you. I'll somehow make my presence felt. You can't help my presence. You can't get rid of me. Can there be a better approach to spirituality than this? Once you start the introduction properly, you can't help his presence. And I am happy about it at least. Provided proper introduction. Otherwise, there's always a God. Antaryami is always there. Physical or mental troubles do not tell upon spirituality. Is it so? It's an assurance here. Babaji says, don't bother too much. They are bound to be there. It doesn't affect your spiritual condition. Once you've got a spiritual condition, you will not lose it. Because of this trouble or that trouble, temporarily you may forget. Previous sentence and this sentence, if you read together, then you know temporarily if you stop it because of your physical trouble or a mental trouble. I have now a personal way of looking at it also. I'll tell you one example. I will not name the persons. One gentleman has reached a very high condition of prapanagati long back, almost. But then the problems at home were so bad, he forgot. He could not. He was in a confused state all the time. Doing routine, if possible, if not possible, leaving that also. Another gentleman who came much later once made a statement about the other person, saying, talking some platitudes to him. Then I said, please don't talk to him like that, he knows more. I had to say this, because the spiritual condition of the person was such that he knew that. But temporarily, he's in cloud. We should not make such judgments that easily and make judgments without knowing his condition is not correct also. The spirituality will not go. Don't judge a person by that. Now, I don't know whether my friend is here. When the introduction was done or a course was started, his report made me feel that he's an advanced person. Then I said, I'll personally try to look to him. And I went to him. I found him a very advanced person. I said, you're already at that plane. Now it's easy to practice, provided you accept the master. Traditionally bound, he had his own reservations, he took his own time. Now, he is there with us. Why I am saying is, whatever you have gained in this life will not go away in the next. What you have gained in the last life will not go away now. And every one of us have made some progress in our past life, otherwise we will not meet here. The system is so pure that nobody would have come, would walk into this system that easily. Because it is easier to go to some temple, some darga, some church, or do some japam, some tapam, some catch hold of some mantra, yantra, tantra, whatever it is, we can do. But here, this is pure spirituality. People, how will it be lost? I don't know how it will be lost. You visit such and such place, sir, you will get your trance.